Hi, this is David Alan Greer, the co-host of How We Manage Stuff. Today we have a special interview episode of our podcast that's going to feature the internet pioneer Steve Crocker. Steve currently works at the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, and we thought that it would be interesting to talk to him about that organization and about the future of the internet. Welcome back to the podcast, Steve.
Thank you, David. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Could we start our interview by talking about the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN, and your role in it?
It's much easier to describe my role. I'm chairman of the board of directors of ICANN. What is ICANN? ICANN is, first of all, the initials, I-C-A-N-N, stands for Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers.
Now, many people think of ICANN as the organization that runs the internet.
ICANN, of course, does not run the internet. The internet is run, so to speak, by many, many, many different people. And in fact, it is an absolutely central point of the internet that it has no central point, that it is a distributed system. If you look at who carries packets, which is the fundamental thing, those are the internet service providers, and there is no global top-level internet service provider. They're all interlinked. And the connection is by agreements that we call protocols, and that these things interoperate.
So how would you describe this organization's primary task?
What ICANN does do is oversee a very, very specific and very narrow portion of the activity, which is coordination of the names and numbers. And again, it only does that at the very top level and then distributes the rest of that outward.
But it does have a unique role in the internet infrastructure.
There has been, for better or for worse, the appearance that ICANN has a much bigger role. And so ICANN has been a focal point in the discussions about internet governance. Part of that is because there are no other organizations that have the same kind of role that we have. And part of it, I have to say, is that we have been somewhat self-promoting in this, with the advantage that it puts us in touch with legislative and policymaking and business leaders all over the world. That raises the understanding and attention of the function that we do, and I think has been helpful to get to the point of nudging forward this transition process of having Commerce say, okay, it's time.
Now, the Internet Domain Name System is the system that describes the location of computers on the network, or probably more accurately, how you get to specific computers on the network. It uses names such as Microsoft.com, WhiteHouse.gov, UCLA.edu. Tell us a little bit about its history. How was it created?
ICANN was formed in 1998 as a response to what I like to call a success disaster. The domain name system evolved out of the research community and was managed by John Postel and a small group of people while he was a senior researcher at USC's Information Sciences Institute. As the network grew and as the domain name system became more and more important, it became evident that it was necessary to place this in a new home. There were contentious issues. Various governments around the world were making complaints. University of Southern California started to receive threats of lawsuits, and they said, look, we don't need to be in this business for one of our researchers running this sort of thing. The White House got involved, and to make a long story short, ICANN was formed as the nonprofit foundation, if you will, as it's called a foundation, to run the clerical process of the top level of the domain name system and some related factors related to the addressing system, the numbers, and support for the IETF's protocol and parameter registries. It also inherited the seemingly straightforward task of examining how to expand the top level of the domain name system, which had been limited to seven generic categories plus one for each country, and to oversee that process.
Now, as I understand it, ICANN was created with a special relationship with the U.S. government.
That was in 1998, and it was all set up with a zero-cost contract under the Department of Commerce so that Commerce could oversee on behalf of the United States government, and left then ICANN to find its way to be financially stable and to develop a governance structure that was acceptable to the community at large. And we're talking not just the U.S. community, but the global community. The estimate at the time was that it would take a couple of years and that by 2000, there'd be no longer a need for that contractual structure. Things take much longer, as they always do. That contractual arrangement continued and continued.
But we're now in the process of changing that relationship.
Finally, about 2 years ago, middle of March 2014, Department of Commerce said, okay, we've come as far as we need to come with this. We plan to let the contract that we have with ICANN lapse and ICANN will be on its own. Let's just do a quick check that everybody's comfortable with the security and stability of the system and with the governance of the system. A feeding frenzy ensued with everybody coming out of the woodwork and say, oh, we have to make this change, we have to make this change, we have to make this change, and this is our last and best hope for making these things happen. And so there's been a multi-year tussle, which I think at the end of the day winds up in a very positive way. We have revised bylaws that we've just adopted that provide a great deal more visibility and accountability in our processes. And it is now up to Department of Commerce in consultation with the rest of the executive branch and with advice and knowledge of Congress to say, okay, this is fine. And our expectation is that by the end of September, when the current contract is up, that their action will be to say, good, it's over, we're done, and ICANN is now on its way.
So without that connection to the U.S. government, how will it be responsive to the many organizations that use it?
Yep. So the question of what will ICANN look like in the future, how will we be responsive? I want to be very, very careful because there's two sides to this. We have a quite open system in which everything we do is visible, everybody can come, and there are many, many ways to participate. The way in which we're held accountable is a myriad of relationships. We have a board that is 15 voting board members separate from the CEO. We're selected by multiple mechanisms from all over the world. We have a requirement to have at least one from every region and no more than five from any region, as one example.
Now, as I have been following the debate, there are a number of parties that are concerned not about responsiveness, but about making ICANN too responsive to special interests.
The notion of being responsive to one party or another has the potential downside of doing something that is good for that party, but not good for the internet as a whole.
So can you explain a little better why this is an issue?
Who determines what's good for the internet as a whole? Very tricky question. Rather than have a crisp answer to that question, what we have is a makeshift balance in which we say, well, we don't know how to get absolute perfection or absolute truth about answering those questions, but what we do know is that we should not be in a position where one group can take us over or one group could cause us to do something that other groups can't. And so we have a deliberately slow-moving, highly visible, transparent, open process that is intended to avoid the worst possibilities, and then we live with the overhead that brings us.
Now, in this transition, there have been several very prominent people, who've raised the specter that the internet might fragment, that it might lose its unity and ability to reach all parts of the earth, that companies or countries could break away and damage the operation of the whole. What is your thought?
Well, the question of fragmenting the internet is a pretty interesting question. What that usually refers to is, could it happen that one party or another, a country or company or whatever, could say, hey, look, we no longer want to use the domain name system as a single naming system for the internet. We want our version of that to be relevant to our people. You can do whatever you want. That generally is thought to lead to quite a bit of chaos. The strongest prevention of that, I think, is simply the fact that we've got a successful system that's working. So we have the sort of first mover advantage kind of thing, which the system's up and running, everybody subscribes to it, and that there's not much rational reason to break away from that. And there's no easy way to break away from it. You could say, only my people. Well, my people might be in this room or they might be in this country, but there's a lot of people that they talk to. And, whether you're talking about a company or whether you're talking about a country, you've got a diaspora of those citizens living elsewhere or ex-citizens or, whatever. So it's very hard to draw any nice clean lines, no matter how hard you try. So I'm less worried, frankly, about fragmentation of the internet in that sense, although it's held up as a potential negative.
You're in your last 18 months in this role. What are you going to be doing next?
When I'm done, I'm off the board of ICANN, and I'll be 73 years old by that time. So first thing I'll do is take a look at whether I've got the energy and taste for another big venture or whether or not it's time to relax. My grandson, who's a year and a quarter now, will be more than twice as old by then. I've decided how much time I want to invest in him, and maybe there'll be other grandchildren by that time. So I think I'll do some combination of things in the field and some combination of things related to retirement, which I've tried before and failed at miserably, but I may give it some level of attention.
Now, in an earlier episode of our podcast, you talk about error-free software. Are you thinking of developing any of those ideas any further?
I'm definitely interested in improving quality software. As I've said, I have this vision of what the world would look like if we had different emphasis on tools, different emphasis on expectations. The key question from my point of view is whether or not I can make a difference. It may well be that there are forces in place that will be enough without me, or it may be that there's a role that I can play in doing it, in which case I'd be happy to do that. And I want to be fairly objective about looking at that.
Steve, it's been really great to have you on this interview. Thanks for coming.
Let me thank you, David. This has been quite a good session from my point of view. I hope it is useful to your listeners.
This is David Alan Greer for How We Manage Stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with a regular episode soon. Take care. You can subscribe to How We Manage Stuff through iTunes or Google or our website, http://howwemanagestuff.com, or Facebook or LinkedIn, or wherever else fine podcasts are sold. This is episode 16375 and is copyrighted 2016 by Jaggi LLC. All rights reserved. Take care.